Good morning, AWS, and welcome to the AWS Morning Brief. I'm cloud economist Corey Quinn, and this is the AWS Morning Brief. This week has a few interesting things happening. Most notably, Jeff Barr, AWS's chief evangelist, is celebrating his 60th birthday tomorrow. So make sure you reach out to him on Twitter. I sure will be. Now let's see what happened last week in the world of AWS. But first, this episode is sponsored by Influx Data, the creators of InfluxDB. InfluxDB is a lot like Amazon TimeStream, except that it has customers because they released it rather than having vaporware hanging out for over a year. In addition to being actually available for sale, it's also the de facto time series database you're probably using if you need a time series database. They've got a few other products available as well, all of it open source, as well as via managed service offerings. Check them out at influxdata.com. Now, let's see what Amazon has gotten up to. Find your most expensive lines of code and improve code quality with Amazon Code Guru. Given that Amazon Code Guru is still, in fact, charging per line of code that it analyzes, your most expensive lines of code are almost certainly going to be the ones that you yourself submit to Amazon Code Guru. Amazon DocumentDB with MongoDB compatibility now supports T3 medium instances. If you disable unlimited mode, DocumentDB will suddenly lose performance, which gets it slightly closer to MongoDB's model of suddenly losing all your data. Amazon Elastic File System increases file system minimum throughput. This is big. No longer do your initial copy jobs suddenly seem to slam to a complete halt midway through because you ran out of I/O credits. Now, they only slam to a medium halt when the burst credits are exhausted because the limit is way higher now. Amazon QuickSight launches histogram, new languages, and cross-region APIs, or APIs as they pronounce them there. QuickSight is a marvelous example of what an AWS service can become if it's freed from the constraint of actually having to worry about paying customers. Amazon RDS Proxy is now generally available. This solves for the 10,000 Lambda functions just hug your database to death problem. That's why I use a reputable large-scale database in the form of Route 53. Amazon Virtual Private Cloud, or VPC, customers can now use their own prefix lists to simplify the configuration of security groups and route tables. This is kind of a big deal because you can now say everything in these subranges are going to be treated a certain way. There was a time I'd have given a lot for this feature because it's forward-looking, it works super well when you know you're going to be adding, for example, additional VPCs later but don't know it. Fortunately, the next version of me doesn't have to give anything for it. They just have to click a button. Kernel live patching for Amazon Linux 2 is now generally available. You don't have to restart your instances for kernel updates is arguably more meaningful to most companies' cloud estates than all of AWS Lambda combined. AWS Code Build supports resource utilization metrics in CloudWatch, AWS's best serverless offering for running Docker containers on a schedule, now gets better monitoring. AWS Code Deploy now enables automated installation and scheduled updates of the Code Deploy agent. That's right, Code Deploy can now go deploy itself. Given the lack of updates in recent years, SimpleDB can apparently go f*** itself instead. Amazon Comprehend Medical adds relationship extraction to medical condition. This service, of course, depends upon its pre-existing wallet extraction capability. Because it was pre-existing, insurance won't help you. Amazon Personalize adds improved handling of missing metadata. It's getting progressively harder for me to fill machine learning training sets with bogus or incomplete data for hilarious results. Soon, one of those experiments, totes-not-amazon.com, will be far less funny than it is today. Last week, AWS saw the launch of their Aeronautics and Satellite Solutions Business Group, or AWS AS. I really wish AWS AS luck with the whole thing. AWS AS is getting bigger all the time. I kind of think something smells about AWS AS. There's only one service in AWS AS, GroundStation, so it kind of feels like they half-assed it. I can't wait to see what other products they pull out of their AWS ass. The AWS ass team puts up with this barrage by turning the other cheek. SpaceX's Starlink may position them to spank AWS's ass. This business unit has been in the works for a while, but it didn't leak because AWS did a great job of sitting on its ass. Their first launch event is guaranteed to be an AWS ass blast. If you work on the AWS ass, you've got to have a thick skin because otherwise, these might cause you to crack. Amazon's simple email service is now available in the U.S. East Ohio, Asia Pacific Singapore, Asia Pacific Tokyo, and Asia Pacific Seoul regions. After this many years, I think anyone using SES has either made their peace with its limited regional availability or switched over to a mail service that's actually decent. My newsletter version of this podcast is brought to you by ConvertKit bolted on top of SendGrid. SES was never seriously considered in the first place. AWS AppSync introduces 12x large instances for server-side API caching. Managed services where you still have to pick EC2 instance sizes is starting to feel a bit retro to me. Am I alone? AWS DataSync can now automatically configure your Amazon CloudWatch logs configuration. Automatically configure your configuration is one of those phrases that makes you want to pick up the phone to the teams that write these release announcements and make sure they're doing okay, you know? It's a pandemic. Maybe reach out a bit more. Speaking of reaching out, have you heard about Chaos Search, the fully managed log analytics platform that leverages your Amazon S3 as a data store? According to the CTO at Armor, a global cybersecurity company with 1,000 customers in 42 countries, Chaos Search is a critical piece of our infrastructure for processing tens of terabytes per day of customers' log data. And at HubSpot, their engineering lead said, "We're able to process and analyze tens of terabytes a day of Cloudflare log data to identify and fend off DDoS attacks on behalf of our customers at a fraction of the cost of our previous self-hosted Elk stack. So take it from me or take it from them, but either way, take a look at chaossearch.io today. That's chaossearch.io. Introducing EC2 Launch V2 to simplify customizing Windows instances. If you say EC2 Launch V2 out loud, you'll start to realize that maybe someone at AWS needs to start reading those famous six-pagers aloud during meetings. Why AWS certification consent is important for individuals and APN partners. If you're letting your employer count your certifications toward their AWS partner status, make sure you're being compensated appropriately for it. Reach out to me if you want tips on that. Curiously, this blog post makes no mention of how to withdraw that consent from your employer should you need to. Announcing the porting assistant for .NET. This tool lets you port your .NET applications to .NET Core. I have no idea what that means because I am not .NET Corey. AWS App 2 Container. That's APP, the number 2, container, all one word because Amazon is terrible at naming things, is a new containerizing tool for Java and .NET applications. The tool only supporting .NET and Java should tell you exactly what kind of customer profile it's getting aimed at. Hint, it's people who are very mad that I'm pronouncing it Java. And lastly, best practices for handling EC2 spot instance interruptions. What's interesting is that only 5% of spot instances get interrupted is a line from the blog post. And that's interesting to dive into as a data point. It could mean that people aren't running them long enough to see interruptions happen. Or conversely, it could very well mean that they are seeing such limited disruptions on spot compared to where it was years ago that this becomes seriously viable for workloads where before it felt entirely too fraught. Anyway, food for thought. And that's what happened last week in the wide world of AWS. I am cloud economist Corey Quinn, and this is the AWS Morning Brief. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Whereas if you've hated it, leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts anyway, along with a comment disparaging my house pronunciation of the word Java.
This has been a Humble Pod production. stay humble.